I want you to brace yourselves, listeners, because we're going to talk about emotion right now. Specifically, we're going to talk about emotion at work. What happens when you get upset at work? What happens when maybe you even cry at work? And if you're hearing me say that, you might be cringing. And there's actually research to back you up on that reaction. There's a lot of research that shows that if you show negative emotion in front of your coworkers, you could be judged harshly. You may well be judged harshly in the workplace. And that can have real career repercussions. Have you ever gotten upset at work? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, God, yes. I have probably hidden in every possible crevice of my former offices, trying to either hold back tears or hide the fact that they were coming down my face. So that included, you know, bathroom stalls, outside stairwell, kind of dingy stairwell, inside cubicle, but sort of hiding my face with telephone. I've gone on walks. I've stopped into, you know, Duane Reade, our local pharmacy. Found myself crying in various aisles looking at magazines. And, you know, about every other place that there possibly is to cry, except in public.
I'm talking right now to Jessica Bennett. She's the author of the book Feminist Fight Club. She lives in New York. And why did you feel like you had to run away from your workplace when you were crying? Why did you feel like you had to hide that?
I guess in part because I've heard so much. There's so much conversation and I think media coverage and even research that shows that if you are a woman and you cry at work and your coworkers or colleagues or bosses see this, it's not likely to go well for you. Either you're going to be perceived as weak and emotional and perhaps too emotional to, you know, do the business part of the job. And I didn't want to be perceived as too emotional.
Hmm. Well, we have another guest with us. We have Lizzie Bailey Wolf. She's a doctoral candidate at Harvard Business School. And Lizzie, you recently did research looking into how coworkers view someone who's gotten upset at work. And you just heard what Jess had to say. Do those concerns seem realistic? Do those hold up given what you've been looking at?
They definitely do. So across many studies from both me, from many other scholars, have shown that people tend to see people who cry negatively. The one thing I would disagree with is actually men who cry are perceived worse than women who cry. Men who get choked up or show anger are perceived more positively than women who do. So there's definitely some ways that men get more of a break than women on the seeming emotional side. But when it comes to crying, men actually cannot cry, even more than women. But yes, people tend to look very negatively at people who show especially sadness or these low status emotions like sadness or anxiety.
One of the things that you started your most current research with was looking at recommended strategies for handling emotion when you feel them coming up at work. You said that there were sort of two predominant suggestions for how someone might be able to deal with their emotions at work. What were those strategies that you uncovered when you were starting your research?
Hide the emotion, so what they refer to as suppression, where you know you're experiencing the emotion, you know that it's happening, and you just tell yourself, don't show it, don't show it, don't show it. And the other strategy is cognitive reappraisal. So the idea here is that you change how you view the situation in such a way that you are able to perceive the situation as not causing the emotion that you were going to experience. So, for example, if you are feeling upset and on the verge of crying in a performance review, you say to yourself, oh, this is a great opportunity for growth, instead of, oh, I'm being reamed out and doing so badly. And perceiving the situation more positively can then lead you to feel hopeful about your future prospects as opposed to upset and anxious about not having done well in the past. So these are both very much about preventative strategies, in my mind, how to avoid showing the emotion. But neither of these strategies really were looking at what you could do if you already are showing the emotion. Because as we have been talking about, I mean, people for both personal and professional reasons may end up showing distress in the workplace, and then they're already showing it by the time they're able to be thinking about the repercussions of having shown it.
Lizzie, I wanted to jump in and ask, Are men more likely to express emotion in different ways, say anger versus women as, you know, sadness or being upset?
Yes. So Larissa Tiedens has some work, I think she's at Stanford now, looking at how high status people tend to show anger and lower status people tend to show sadness. And men have chronically higher status and more power in society than women, and it is reflected also in how men and women tend to show emotion, but it's really about the status, not about biology or something. Men tend to, in similar situations, men tend to show anger where women tend to show sadness. Not always, but if you're going to err on one side or the other, it tends to be women err on sadness and men err on anger, especially when women have more power.
Does that benefit men, would you say?
Well, yes, because Larissa Tiedens has also shown that when people show anger, more status and power is attributed to them than if they show sadness. It's sort of it's a cyclical relationship where high status people tend to show more anger and less sadness, and people who show more anger and less sadness tend to be thought of as higher status.
Wait, are we talking about the emotional equivalent of dressing for the job you want here?
I don't think I would recommend that people show anger, especially if they are in a lower status position. So I think in some ways you get status points for showing anger, but I do think that there's backlash if you show anger when you're not seen as someone who should be. Like, if you imagine a job candidate showing anger, you'd be kind of like, well, I'm not hiring that guy. And then aggression is not good. So anger can be good, but aggression is bad. So it's fine line, and there's some research actually that talks about how much anger is okay. It's called the dual threshold model, and the idea is essentially that some anger is good, but too much anger is really, really bad. So it's a fine line. You want to cross that first threshold of seeming high status, but you don't want to cross the second threshold of seeming aggressive. And if you seem aggressive, it's hard to recover from that. So I wouldn't go around giving that advice.
I'm talking with Jessica Bennett. She's the author of the book Feminist Fight Club. And I'm talking with Lizzie Bailey Wolf, who is a doctoral candidate at Harvard Business School. We're talking about research that Lizzie released recently looking at how coworkers perceive you when you have an emotional outburst at work. Lizzie, you mentioned that the research you looked at indicated some strategies for suppressing emotion, for basically stopping the emotion before it came out. You wanted to try and figure out how to deal with it once it happened, because it does happen. We have emotions.
That's exactly right.
So what did you discover?
So we looked at how people could attribute their emotional outbursts to passion versus emotion versus nothing. So we had, for example, in one of our experiments, we had somebody who was crying based on a very negative team environment, and the person either said, I'm sorry, I'm crying, it's just, I'm so passionate about this, I'm sorry, I'm crying, I'm just so emotional about this, or they just didn't say anything, and the story just ended with them crying. And we found that compared to not saying anything or saying they were crying because they were emotional, the person who said they were crying because they were so passionate about this was perceived as more competent and higher status. So then in subsequent studies, we also looked at how that can change the decisions that people make about the person who shows emotion. So for example, we had a job candidate who was interviewing describe a time when they got choked up in the workplace. And they either said it was because they were so passionate about what they were working on or because they were so emotional about what they were working on. And we found that people were significantly more likely to hire the job candidate who attributed having gotten choked up about something to being so passionate about their work as opposed to being emotional about their work. And we also found that people were more likely to select a partner to work with in the future if that partner labeled their own emotion as passion as opposed to emotion.
Why is passion a better spin than emotion? Why is that perceived as better, I guess? We're not saying it's actually better, but why is it perceived as better?
I think it's because, at least right now in the current climate, passion is a buzzword in a lot of organizational contexts. And I think that the reason, and so it's seen as socially acceptable. And I think that's actually for good reason, because if you think about what is the opposite of a passionate person, it's really an apathetic person. And I don't think that is what most employers want. They want people who are committed to the work, who are invested in work, who are dedicated to working, maybe even working more than the hours on their paycheck, you know, they're being paid for. So employers really want people who care. And so passion is seen as a good quality that we want in workers. And you can see that, for example, several of the biggest consulting or accounting firms specifically list passion in their mission statements or in qualities that they look for in their job candidates. So, for example, McKinsey & Company, Bain, or Boston Consulting Group, these big players in the consulting field, all list in their mission statements or in their hiring statements that passion is something they're looking for.
You know, part of me wonders if more people just gave in to their emotions when they felt them and cried, because it seems, Jeannie and I were talking about this earlier, it doesn't seem like anyone's actually ashamed of the emotion itself. I wasn't ashamed of crying. I just would have been ashamed had someone seen me crying. So mm-hmm. if more people were authentic to how they were feeling, then would this behavior just become normalized? Like, sometimes we're going to get upset, sometimes we're going to cry. That's the reality. Like, get over it.
I think so. And that's actually something I am invested in seeing happen, because I think it is not serving organizations well for their employees to be inauthentic and for emotions to be present but not discussable, because I think that emotions have a very strong influence on how people interact with each other at work. And that strong messages are sent and received via emotions and emotional expressions. And yet, because emotion is seen as inappropriate in the workplace, people don't talk about it and they hide it. And they may be extra unpleasant to deal with that day, but they, you know, you don't actually see them going and crying in the bathroom. What you just see is them being unpleasant to you. And then you take that as, oh, I guess they don't think my work is very good. Oh, I'm not doing well here. And really, they're just, their boyfriend just split up with them, you know? And so I do think that having people be more open about their emotions in the workplace would be beneficial, because emotions are such strong means of communication in organizations.
Lizzie, I'm curious, though, and I'm coming at this from a couple of different places. One is just thinking practically that this idea that we could all sort of speak openly about emotion at work feels a little bit like a utopia that we'll never see.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't necessarily want to be in a workplace where people are constantly having outbursts. Yeah, I have this image of my daughter's preschool, and it takes them forever to finish an art project because people keep just losing it. They're four, but they keep losing it. And I imagine that, but with adults. So what's the benefit of making emotion and emotional outbursts, I guess, more acceptable and easy to discuss in the workplace? What's the benefit there?
Well, I guess for me, and I agree with you, and I've thought a lot about this, that I also don't believe that everyone should just be completely uninhibited in how they show their emotions at work. We do want people to be, you know, focused, and we don't want one person's distress to cause distress to everyone around them. So I do feel torn about this, and I wouldn't just go around saying, hey, organizations, like, you've got to make sure everyone can cry at your workplace and that'll make you more productive. I wouldn't say that. Another factor that's important is that emotion is usually a signal of something. And so suppressing all emotion in the workplace can be really problematic, because if it is related to the work, if it's unrelated to the work, then it's unrelated to the work, and then that's a different issue. But if the emotion is related to the work, usually that's a sign that there's something that needs to be addressed or there's some issue. Like, if I'm as upset as to cry about something related to the work, then that's usually a sign there's a problem. Or if I'm angry enough at somebody else to express that anger in a way that's obvious, that's usually a sign that there's a problem. I feel that I wasn't treated fairly. I feel that somebody else is to blame in my environment for something not going the way it should have been going. And me just suppressing and hiding that emotion and never confronting them about it or never talking about it you know, maybe there's instances where that could be okay, but there's going to be more times than not where it needs to be addressed. There's a reason I'm angry. There's a reason I'm crying. There's a reason I'm devastated. And just hiding it is not productive for effective communication and effective teamwork. And so, yes, getting negative feedback is never fun, but it's not as devastating as it would be in a work environment where you think, oh my gosh, now I'm totally, you know, I'm going to lose my job and everything's going, you know, down the drain for me right now. So, you know, and of course, those are the best organizational cultures. Not every organizational culture can be like that, but I do think it's a sign of a problem if somebody is really, you know, crying and devastated in these situations.
That was Lizzie Bailey, who's been researching how our coworkers perceive us when we cry or get openly upset at work. I also talked with Jessica Bennett, the author of the book Feminist Fight Club. And Jessica said while researching her book, she read every study and article about crying at work she could get her hands on. And she said some of that research showed up as advice pieces in women's magazines.
And they are things like swallowing hard, which I just did, I'm not crying right now, but I did just swallow hard. Swallowing hard and sort of swallowing the tears. There's one bit of research that shows that push-ups can actually help, because I think the idea is that perhaps it raises your endorphins and that is going to maybe make you happier. I read advice about, you know, putting on sunglasses or actually saying that you have allergies. You know, if you live in a place like Los Angeles, it's probably easier to wear shades all the time, even indoors. Probably more difficult if you're in Seattle and it's been raining for 279 days or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends who is a chef and worked in a very male-dominated place where she was cooking would always say that she and a couple of the other women cooks in the kitchen would quote unquote, blink one out. So they would run outside, they would blink one out, they would blink out the tears as fast as they could, and they would come in, put back on their apron, and get to work.
Blink out the tears as fast as you can, and then maybe do some push-ups. I'm Jeannie Yandel. More of The Record still to come on KUOW.